Kiddos, come on, join me up here at the table. Today, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and I want to show this to you. This is something that Jesus commanded us to do. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." But what does that mean? You're going to remember Him. So you don't forget, right? Do y'all ever forget things?
Yeah.
Who was shaking their head no?
We always do.
Jackson, did you shake your head no?
No.
All right. I know y'all forget that because I know y'all forget to pick up your clothes sometime.
Oh, yeah.
You forget to put up your dirty dishes sometime.
Forgot that.
Yeah, check. Okay. Well, Jesus knew we would forget things too. So He said we were supposed to do this. This is one of two very important things. He said we were supposed to baptize people to show about that they had a relationship with Jesus, and that we're to remember Him by having this supper. Now, this supper was a fulfillment of suppers that the Jews had for a long, long time. And it was always showing what Jesus would do. He said at the Last Supper, He said, "When you take this bread and you break it," you break the bread, He said, what are you remembering by breaking the bread? Right, that Jesus' body was brought. And how did He do that, Stewie? He died on the cross in our place. He took our place. So when we break the bread and we take the bread, we remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. And He said, then He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is the new deal. This cup is the new covenant." What do we remember when we take the cup, Luke?
Jesus' blood.
That He poured out His blood for us. So when we take the bread and we take the cup, we remember what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross for what?
Us.
And He, that's right. They're pointing to everybody because His finger's pointing at everybody. That's right, Jackson. And He arose on the third day and He gives to all of us His life. And this is a symbol of what Jesus has done for us. Just like that's a symbol of what Jesus has done for us, just like that ring right there, what's that a symbol of? I'm married, and I'm not just married to anybody, am I? Who am I married to?
Obviously.
Daniel, you can do better than that, son. Audrey, that's right. I want you to say her name. It's a symbol. I'm married to Audrey. When we take the bread and the cup, it shows that we belong to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for speaking to us today. Thank You for these children. What a blessing they are to our lives. Lord, increase their understanding. Open their hearts, Lord, large. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see you today. I'm glad to be here. We're going to come to the Lord's table today, and if you have your Bible, turn with me to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I want to read one verse there. In fact, we'll read the verse before too, so you'll see it in context. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread." We showed that just a moment ago. "And when He had given thanks," remember that, "He broke it and He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. do this in remembrance of me. When he had given thanks. The word there, given thanks, is the word Eucharist. You ever heard communion referred to as the Eucharist? Well, that's where it comes from. Eucharissa. And there are different forms of the word, but all it means is giving thanks. Giving thanks. Dan, Rick, and I were praying the other day and together, and we thought it'd be good for us to just start giving thanks now. You ever noticed how the Thanksgiving season has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter? You know, all the things that go on in the fall and all the stuff from October and man, people are so much into Halloween and all that stuff. And then Christmas is out and we skipped right over Thanksgiving. In fact, I thought today, in order to get your attention, I didn't do this because I knew it would distract some of you so much you wouldn't be able to recover from it. But I was going to wear lights and call them Thanksgiving lights. Because we have lights for everything else. Every other people putting things out on their lawn. I thought, well, hey, man, this would be a good thing. Get your attention so you could think about thanks today. Now, it's been a long week. It's been a long, and fill in the blank, how far back you want to go. I want to remind you what I asked you to be praying about on Thursday, and I asked you last Sunday. Some very specific things. We had an election this week. Did you know that? The first thing that I asked you on Thursday to pray for, as we come to this time of Thanksgiving, is pray for President Barack Obama. He's got 60-something days between now and January 20th. He's going to make a lot of decisions between now and then. He needs our prayers. Because what does the Bible tell us that we should do for our leaders? Does it tell us who to vote for? Nope. Does this church tell you who to vote for? Let me hear that.
No.
You've never heard that here, have you? And you won't. Doesn't happen here. We talk about issues and what the Bible says about it. And for you and your own conscience to go and take care of that. But the Bible is very specific about who and what we're to pray about. We're to pray for our leaders. So we want to pray for President Obama. He has a great responsibility on his shoulders. It is a dangerous time in the world right now. And there are many people in the world that seek ill for us as a people, as a nation. Secondly, we need to pray for our president-elect, Donald Trump. He needs our prayers. As he prepares to assume office, good, bad, or indifferent, if you voted for him, if you didn't vote for him, whatever, if you didn't vote at all, he needs our prayers because he will be the sitting president of the United States. It is a dangerous, dangerous world, and we need wisdom, great wisdom. How many times have we right here at this place asked that our president, our leaders would hear the voice of God? We have prayed for that over and over and over again. We need to pray for our Congress. Both houses, our Senate and our House of Representatives. I still want to put before you that dream that I have of a joint session of Congress and the wind of the Holy Spirit just blowing through that place. Ooh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And so, but we need to pray for these men and women who represent us. And not just to represent our own pork barrel interest for whatever part of the country we come from, but for the whole nation, or for the times in which we live. Our state leaders, our governor, our state legislature, they need our prayers. They need us standing in the gap. Our local leaders, the ones that we know. I shared with you a story in my prayer time that is on Thursday. Some of you may read that. Some of you may look, well, that's too long for me to read that, you know. But I'm sorry. I can't get it into 140 characters. And I'm not. Because that's not what that's about. I'm not going to capitulate on that. You can't get that what we need to be praying about in 140 characters. But I remember years ago, there was a guy running for office, and I adamantly was opposed to him. Privately, I never made that known. You know, that was not... But I opposed him. I did not want him to be elected. Guess what? He got elected. And guess what? He proved me absolutely wrong in every way. In fact, I met him later. And then, you know, for years after he got out of office, he did a great job. He represented everybody. How did I know that? I followed him around. I know he did it. I know what he did. He was a blessing. I had to eat it. Sometimes that's hard to do, but I had to eat it. And later on when I'd see him, I got to know him. I said, man, we miss you. We miss you. And we need to pray for each other. We need to remember one another. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time today, as we'll come to the Lord's table in just a moment, we have a lot to be thankful for. 99% of the world would trade places with you right now. Now, I haven't been to all those places. I've been to a bunch of places. And every place that I've been, they would trade places with you right now if you gave them the chance. We need to be thankful. Friday, we celebrated Veterans Day. By the way, if you are a veteran, would you please stand? All our veterans, please stand. Remain standing. God bless you, and thank you, and we'll find out which branch that Daniel served in later. The Eucharist. I say all that about what's going on so we can say to the Lord today, God, I am thankful. What are you thankful for? Why are you thankful? Why? That might tell something about your thankfulness, about your character. If you're thankful for, like, years ago, I thought I was thankful that the teacher just chose me out of everybody else in the room until I learned later on what she was doing. She wanted to shut me up. So your thankfulness may tell something about you. The verse that we read, it says that before the supper, the Last Supper, Jesus gave thanks to the Father. What would Jesus give thanks about in your life? As He looks at you. This is someone with no agenda, no politics, no fill in the blank, who can absolutely know the motivations of your heart, know who you are, everything about you. As He looks at you, what would He be thankful about? Good question to ask. For us to be thankful, are you just thankful to some unknown cosmos out there? We need to be thankfulness has to have an object, doesn't it? So who or what are you going to thank? I'm purporting to you today, we must thank the Lord. And to thank Him, intrinsic to thanking Him is submission to Him. Because we're thanking Him for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do in our lives. For some of you, you may be in pain today. You may be discouraged. You may feel like there are relationship things that are going on. You may be disappointed today in your life, physically ill. Maybe other people in your life are a big disappointment to you right now. And some of you may just, think, well, you know, things just aren't going my way. I want to make a recommendation to you today. Why not thank your way out of those feelings? Because what does thankfulness do? It causes us to move our attention from ourselves to something or someone else. And we see the larger picture. We can see the bigger thing. Look at the people in your life that when... It's easy. And by the way, just a little random comment here about people sitting in their basement. I know we don't have basements in Georgia, but it's a good illustration. Someone sitting in their basement, in their underwear, you know, sitting there at the time, and you can type all kinds of things on that computer and send it out with no accountability. And it's wrong. There has to be an accountability. We've got to be thankful. And when we're around people, what that raises, that people, that there can be people around us that can raise the level of our lives. That can help us. Man, there are times I get discouraged. And then Audrey will call me. Those of you who don't know, that's my wife. She'll call me. I get an encouraging word from her. Or one of my kids. A few weeks ago, I was down about something that Dane didn't even know. I was down about it, and I just ran into him. We weren't planning a meeting or anything, but I ran into him, and just seeing things through his eyes lifted me up. You see it? See what I'm talking about? We need each other. We need thankfulness in our lives. Thankfulness gives you perspective. It gives you perspective about your life and about the people who are in your life. Now some of you say, well, Dusty, I don't feel like being thankful. What I'm calling on you today to do is take a step of faith, even though you don't feel like it, and be thankful. Thank God today. We're going to come to the table today. It is the Lord's table. I got it, Daniel. Thank you. As we come to the table, it is the Eucharist. It is the thanksgiving. It should remind us that He has things under His control. If you're here today and you've wandered around, you've kicked the tires on religion and on church and all that stuff, I'm not here to talk to you about any of that stuff. I'm here to talk to you about the person who died in your place. The person who died on the cross, who gave himself to pay for your sin. What was in it for him? You. You. Yeah. Jackson said it a while ago. Did you hear Jackson? He got his finger out. You, 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 you. Somebody you. He loves you. He loves you. Warts and all, he loves you. He doesn't love the warts. He wants to get rid of the warts, but he loves you and cares about you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to live with him forever. That's what this Eucharist, this Thanksgiving, is all about. It's admitting, I can't do it myself. I need you, Jesus. I need someone who can come into my life and do what I can't do. Who can wipe away your past? Who can wipe away the failures? Who can do that in one fell swoop? Jesus. He's the one. He can give you a brand new life. Listen to me. I've been at this a long time. I've watched people on multiple continents have their lives changed by Jesus. It wasn't some hocus pocus. It wasn't some incantation. It wasn't, well, we slapped some religion on them. No, it was a change that took place on the inside. And it's like this friend of mine, he said, it was like you swallowed sunshine. Think of that. It's like you swallowed sunshine. He made everything new from the inside out. Now maybe you've been around religion all your life, and maybe you've never had that kind of experience. But I want you to know, he is available to you. We're going to open the altar here in just a moment. We'll say, come to the altar if you want to come and pray, if you want to come in thanksgiving, but I want you to know, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, communion, Holy Communion, the Eucharist, he started with thanksgiving. We've got to start there today before we can come to the table. So, we're going to open the altar. Brother Gary, if you'll come and play some quiet music, and just we can be in a mood of thanksgiving. And if you'd like to come to the altar, like to get someone else to come to the altar with you, or sit in quietness right where you are and thank the Lord. But in thanking Him, you've got to recognize where you are. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. So we've got, along with the Holy Spirit, let the Lord shine His searchlight into our lives and see what is really there. What are the real motivations of the heart? And cry out to Him today, Lord, we need You. The altar's open. Lord, we open the altar now before we come to Your table. We ask You, move in our hearts. Spirit of God, You are present here right now. We can feel Your presence, and You are working. May we be obedient to You. Brother Rick, Brother Dane, myself will be up here. If you want to talk and pray with some of us, you can. Go get someone else. The altar's open. This is your time with the Lord. Let Him speak to you. Look this way, if you will. We read the scripture. Our view is that this bread and wine do not actually become the body and blood of Jesus, but are a symbol. And so today, as I raise the symbol to you, let us remember that Jesus willingly stepped out of heaven. God became flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He went to the cross, and He was broken in our behalf. And just as the Scripture says, there, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness. Someone had to pay the price. Someone had to pay. There's no free lunch. Someone had to do it. Jesus, with great love for us, poured out His love. Imagine this. You were on His mind as He was dying on that cross. You, personally. You. He gave His life for us. Gentlemen, our communion table is open to anyone who wants to come and share in this profession of their faith in Jesus. So be reminded of that. And our method is by, we do it by, in the fancy word is intinction. You know, you come to one, you break off a piece of the bread and they put it in your hand, put your open hands before, because this, we're receiving from the Lord. They put the bread there, and then you come to the next and they'll say, "This is the blood of the Lord Jesus," and we dip it in the cup. And so we remember the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. It's one of the greatest sermons that there can be. Dane, Rick, Dana, it's the body of Jesus broken in your behalf. Rick, body of Jesus, broken on your behalf. Dane, it's the blood of Jesus poured out for you. The blood of Jesus, our Savior, poured out for you, Rick.
Just the body of Christ broken just for you.
Amen.
What a Christ shed for you.
Don't pass by the mystery too quickly. He is here, and He is not silent. Come to God's table. Come and receive communion. So glad you've been here today. We sure would like to get your cards. If you filled out a card, there are baskets up here and basket in the back. If you have an offering to bring, in fact, why don't we just do that right now? If you have an offering to bring or a card, basket in the back, baskets up here, we can bring those right now. While we're doing that, one announcement for you. Over the next, Sunday, next Sunday with baseball camp, those interviews that Jason's going to do up here, I'm really, really looking forward to that. We'll get an insight. Please invite some people to come and be a part of that. It's going to be a great, great time. And then, of course, the next week is Thanksgiving. That's the first That next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, as we'll then have four Sundays as we're leading up to the celebration of the first coming of Jesus, Christmas. So look at your calendar. We'll be sending out some emails about things to come, live nativity and all that. It'll be in the news. So the Lord bless you. And let me pray us out right now. Lord, now, we ask you to send us out. Send us out in your power that we may be the representatives of love and grace and forgiveness that comes from only one, and that is you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Gives me so much.